Bibles, and all of you do, turn with me to Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 36. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 36. I'm going to read through the text to the end of the chapter through verse 50, and then we'll come back and we'll study it. But first of all, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings, Father, that you've given each one of us. We thank you for life. And just you blessed each one of us in such wonderful ways. You blessed me. And Father, I just thank you most of all for your Son, for our Lord and Savior, who paid the sin debt that we could not pay, who died and shed his blood on Calvary's cross to save us from our sins. Pray that you be with us tonight, that this lesson might be glorifying to you, and that we would gain insight and a lesson from it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, Luke 7, beginning in verse 36. Now, the subtitle on the Bible says, it's a sinful woman forgiven. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of oil, a fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Okay? Now on the surface, who's the main character in the story? Who is this story about?
Jesus.
It's about Jesus, but Jesus and... I'm going to be honest with you. Since I've been coming here, I've heard this 1,000 times. You need to slow down and read carefully. Slow down and read. So guess what? I slowed down. And I've read and I've done some studying. So in this passage, there are two main characters, not counting Jesus. He's always the main character. But in this character, we have two people. We have Simon, the Pharisee, and we have the woman who is called a sinner. Now, at this time and place when the woman is called a sinner, most scholars agree that she was most likely a prostitute. Okay? So, here we have two totally extremes. We have on the one side, we have the Pharisees who are holier than thou, who by their self-righteousness, you know, they are the leaders. They set the rules. They set the guidelines. And the people fear and respect them. But then you have, on the other hand, you have the woman who is a sinner. Okay? The story, I thought, when I read it the first time, was about the woman coming to salvation. And while that is part of the story, that's not the main theme in this story. The main theme in this story is Jesus using this woman who has repented to bring about Simon, to show Simon that he is a sinner and that he needs to repent. He's using the woman, and we'll see that as we go ahead. All right, what do we know about the Pharisees? What do we know about the Pharisees and how they felt about Jesus? Y'all quiet tonight.
Amen.
They hated Jesus. They hated everything Jesus stood for. Who did Jesus hang out with? He hung out with sinners. He hung out with tax collectors. He hung out with the lowlife, people that the Pharisees would never, ever allow themselves to come in contact with or be around because they felt like it defiled them. So they didn't love Jesus. He didn't invite Jesus to come to his table because he loved him. He had another reason. So what were at this particular point in time, the Pharisees were gathering all the evidence and trying to find something to corner him so that they could have him crucified. So as the story progresses, we'll move on. All right, so then we have the woman. Okay. Her name is never mentioned. And she never says a single word in this passage. Her name is never mentioned, and she never says a single word. Anyway, we've already come to the conclusion, most likely, that she was a prostitute. Everyone in town would have known her. Because this is, you know, we're not in New York City here. We're in a small town. And everybody would have known her or known of her. But what can we determine by her actions? Okay? All right. Let's see. All right. So Simon has a meal. And at this time, when they have meals, this isn't fast food. This would have been a big, elaborate deal. Most likely, it's a good chance that this meal would have occurred after Jesus has spoken in a synagogue. Could have been an afternoon, could have been an evening meal. And all the big people in town would have been invited. And I'm assuming that Simon, being a Pharisee, would have invited other Pharisees to be his guests and other prominent people in the town. So we have a setting here of a dinner. We've got all these people, and in doing some research I wasn't aware of, the doors are not slammed shut and locked like we might have them at that particular time. This was an open air event, perhaps. They were in this big room with a table. You got all the prominent people, the Pharisees. You have people waiting on them. And then who is the guest? The guest is Jesus. So they've invited Jesus to come. So Jesus, and the scripture says, they are reclining at the table. Now, we're not sitting up like we're sitting now. In that time, the table would have been low to the ground. They would have had a cushion that they would have been sitting on, and they would have been leaning on their elbows for support. They would have been leaning into the table, as it's described. So their feet would have been as far away from them as they possibly could have them. So the feet would have been stretched out away from them. So then this lady, and I use the word lady to see if y'all paying attention, this woman who is considered, we're basically told she's a prostitute, she crashes the party. Now, the way I understand at this time, you have all these guests, but you also have other people who, although they didn't get a written invitation, but they're lining, they're on the outsides, maybe in the dark, but they're watching and listening to hear what's going on, what's being said, you know, and obviously knowing that Jesus is going to be there, they want to hear what he has to say also. All right. Then this woman shows up. Now, she would not have been allowed. She would not have been invited. She would not have, you know, she She was where she should not have gone. But why did she come? Why did she come? Okay. What did the scripture say? All right, scripture uses the description that she is crying uncontrollably. She is shedding, just pouring tears. And as she's standing behind Jesus and she's shedding these tears to the point that they are falling on his feet, and she looks down and she sees his feet have not been washed. His feet are dusty. And she's crying uncontrollably. And she has no towel. She's not prepared. She has no towel. So at that time, the custom in that day, the Jewish women, they always had their hair up. So she lets her hair, her long hair down, and she begins to wash and dry the Savior's feet with her hair. Notice I use the word the Savior. We can tell by her actions that she has already heard the gospel message. She has already heard, and she has accepted his forgiveness, and she has become a Christian. She is already saved at this point in time. And, you know, that was something, just reading through the scripture real fast. I didn't catch it to start with. But when I went back and did a little study, I realized, you know, she's already saved. She's already accepted Christ as her Savior. And she has completely, totally gone from one extreme to the other. And her, you know, her joy, her love for her Savior is so strong and so evident in this passage that she is just crying uncontrollably, tears of joy. And she, you know, and she humbles herself, she bends down, and she washes his feet with her tears, and she dries them with the hair of her head. And then she does something else. She came in with this alabaster ointment, and I think, or oil, fragrant oil or perfume, and we speculate that she was going to anoint the head of Jesus. But at this time, she's down on his feet, and she anoints his feet with the oil. Now, here she is. Can you imagine? Now, ladies, I'm speaking to you. How do you think she looked at this particular point in time? She has been crying uncontrollably. She's let her hair down. His feet are nasty. She has washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. Now, was she ready to be a model, have her picture taken? I don't think so. I think she was probably a mess. She probably was a mess. But, you know, this woman could care less. She has been saved, and she has one goal, and that goal is to see her Savior. And when she finds out that Jesus is going to be there, she don't care what others may think. She don't care if she's rebuked. They could have thrown her out. They could have had her thrown out. All she wants to come to her Savior and show him her love and affection for what he has done for her. So, in other words, her life was totally changed. It was totally transformed. Okay? So, that's the key. A transformed life. The evidence of a transformed life. Okay. So, here we are. We have this prostitute in the house. She has washed his feet with her tears, dried them with her hair, and anointed her feet, his feet, with the perfume. Now, let's go back to Simon. How embarrassed or how upset would a Pharisee have been to have this scene taking place in his house in front of his hallowed guests, let's put it that way, in front of the other Pharisees? He was indignant. You know, he was humiliated by this. And he was humiliated by not only her actions, but that Jesus allowed this to take place. He allowed her to do this and did not rebuke her. Again, now, the scripture we're going, and I'm going to go back and read again, it says that, we've got to go on back a little bit more. But Jesus has said, has allowed this to happen. And the Pharisee is thinking to himself, I'm not going to read this. I've studied enough. I think I know it most of it. But he says, look, if this were a prophet, if Jesus was who he has said he is, said he was, he would have known what kind of person this woman was. And it would not, any good Jewish rabbi or prophet would never allow a prostitute to touch him like this, because it was just, you just didn't do that. It would make him ceremonial unclean. But Jesus allowed it, and he knew her heart. He knew how she had accepted his gift of salvation. And she knew not only his heart, her heart, but who else did he know? He knew what Simon the Pharisee was thinking. He knew what, you know, all the other guests around the table were thinking. And so Jesus allows this to take place. Then Jesus says, okay, Simon, I have something to say to you. Then Jesus uses the parable. He uses the two parables, two people who owe debt to a moneylender to expose Simon's sinful heart. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50, but neither had the money to repay. So they were both forgiven. All right, now, again, we can read real fast that they were both forgiven and keep going. All right, the money lender loaned 500 denarii to one and 50 to the other, and if they didn't repay it, who was in debt? He was. He had loaned the money. So there's always a price. There's always a price to pay. And, you know, and that's true in this situation, but it's also true in forgiveness. Just like the two characters in the story, we can never repay the debt that we owe. The good news is that forgiveness is available to everyone. But forgiveness is not free. It always costs something. In the story that Jesus told, the cost of the money changer was 500 denarii, which was a lot of money. But for God the Father, the cost for our salvation was the precious blood of His only Son. What a price. Forgiveness is not free. Okay, up to this point, all through the washing and anointing of the feast, Jesus had faced His guest, the person invited. Jesus had been facing Simon. Now, He does something interesting. He turns His back to Simon and faces this woman who had showed Him such sacrificial love. And He says, and He looks at the woman, but He's still talking to Simon. And He says, and don't miss the significance of this, that He turned His back to Simon. Now, customary in that day, he was a guest of this Pharisee. You know, you would not turn your back to your guest. You wouldn't do that. But he did, and he faced the woman, but he was still talking to Simon. And he said, Simon, I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time she entered has not ceased from kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with her fragrant oil. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven her. For she showed great love. And where love is done little, then little is loved. So I didn't read that exactly, but the point is this. She has accepted His forgiveness. And look at the transformation it has made in her life. But Simon, you haven't done anything. You haven't accepted my forgiveness. Like Simon, I had to ask myself this question. How many times have I loved little? Do we ever feel superior to others? Have we ever mistreated others? Maybe because they weren't like us, young people. I'm speaking to y'all, too. You ever been in school? Ever been in a situation where maybe people were, somebody was getting picked on, and instead of taking up for the person, you kind of joined in with that. I know when I was your age, I did. I'm not going to lie to you. I did. And, you know, and it was wrong. So it's something that we all need to take into heart. Jesus came and died for all of us, for each one of us. None of us are any better than anyone else. And he used this example. That's why he came to the tax collectors, to the prostitutes, to the sinners, and he was hung out with them. You know, he came to show that his love was for everyone. But then Jesus did something and said something that the tax collectors, the Pharisees in this case, what they were really hoping he would say. Remember, what are they trying to do? They're trying to trap him. They're trying to get evidence so that they can have him crucified, have him executed. So Jesus turns to the woman and says, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, only God can forgive sins. And by Jesus saying, "Your sins are forgiven," he is placing himself in that position. So the Pharisee he's humiliated, he's embarrassed by all that has taken place in his home, but then at the same time, he's thrilled because now we've got more evidence that we can use against him. And so he's thrilled as well as having been embarrassed. But Jesus told her what saved her. The shedding of tears, the crying, what saved her? Her faith. Her faith saved her. The woman believed that if she came to Jesus as a repentant sinner, he would not send her away. He would save her, and she was correct. Like I said, this passage describes two sinners who were lost. One, the woman, was a low-class prostitute who repented of her sins and received salvation. The change in her life was so transforming that no one could doubt her salvation. The other, Simon the Pharisee, was a high-class sinner, the sinner of the worst kind. Why would he be worse? Why would I say that he's the sinner of the worst kind? The reason is he thinks his self-righteousness is going to punch his ticket into heaven. He doesn't need a Savior. His self-righteousness is all he needs to get into heaven. And like the Apostle Paul said, and I didn't write it down, but Paul called himself, after his repentance, he was the chief sinner who persecuted the Christians. This woman in the story experienced what we read in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, which says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your weary souls." And she claimed the promise that we find in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My prayer tonight is that there's no unforgiven sinners in this room. There's no Pharisees like Simon. We've all heard the gospel message, and it's up to us how we respond to it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy. And Father, we just thank you for the great sacrifice of sending your Son to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to save us from our sins. And Father, we just give you all the praise and the glory for that. And we look forward to the day that we will see him again face to face, and we will be like him. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.